How's everybody doing? Good? Hey, stay standing really quick. There's something fun that we do in Miami. And listen, you'll just have to bear with me this morning. But put your hands up like this and just say spirit fingers. Say jazz hands. And turn to your neighbor. Give him a good back massage. Turn to the right. Turn to the right first. Turn to the right. Your other right. Some of you can turn to your left. Okay, back up. Spirit fingers. You didn't expect to get a massage at church. Say jazz hands. And turn to the other side. Give them a double portion. Okay, hands back up. Say spirit fingers. Jazz hands. And let's just give God a big shout of praise, can we? Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Before you're seated, turn to somebody, give them another hug. Say, I'm so glad you're sitting next to me today. Thanks for sitting next to me. Well, it's so good to be home. I look around this room and this is my family. I'm so glad to be home. It's such an honor to be with you guys this morning. Rich and I flew in on Thursday night, and I've been looking forward to this morning just to get to be a part of what God's doing at North Point. I'm so excited. I hear every week about what God's doing both at Shreveport Community and North Point. So excited about the unity and about what God's doing here. And I have to tell you, you know, my parents, they've been the biggest examples in my life. They are who I want to be like. They're my heroes. But secondly, in my whole life, when I was, would I have been 13, Destiny, when I met Phil? When I met Phil when I was 13, wait, how old was I? 12. Not met Phil, but when he started dating my sister. When Phil started coming over to the house, I was 12. And since that moment, since I was 12 years old, Destiny and Philip have been the second most influential voices in my life. And their relationship, the way that they've always placed God first, the way that they've preached the gospel absolutely fearlessly, the way that they're honest, the way that they love people, I'm just so thankful today. You guys have had unbelievable impact on my life, and I'm just so thankful, and always will look up to you. You guys are my heroes. Can we put our hands together for Destiny and Phil? I'm just so thankful for them in my life. I really can't put it into words how much I love them. But yeah, it's so good to be home. Like Phil said, 6 years ago we moved to Miami. I graduated in Tennessee from Lee University, and Rich and I moved that same week right after graduation to Miami. And I'd never lived in Miami before, and it's totally different. It doesn't even feel like America. English is most often not spoken as the first language, I have to tell you. But I love it. I love the city that God's called me to. And now I consider myself to have two homes. And Miami's really a melting pot of so many different cultures. And our church, over half of our church is Haitian. And Creole would be the first language that's spoken. And then we have so many people that are just from all over the world, from all of the islands, and then from Brazil and from Trinidad. And I've fallen in love with all of their food and all of their culture. But I'd always tell them about our Cajun culture and that they got to come to Louisiana and know how we do it. So I had jambalaya last night. My heart is full. God is good. But I'm excited to share a word with you. Honestly, it's just such an honor. I told them earlier this morning that I've never been more nervous in my life, but I'm excited that I get to preach God's words, not my own. Amen? So if you have your Bible with you, just turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 25. John chapter 14, verse 25. Can we put our hands together for the awesome worship team this morning? They were incredible. One of the things that I do in Miami is I'm the worship pastor. And let me tell you, what you guys have here every Sunday is such a gift. They're unbelievable. So amazing. I was so blessed to be able to be a part. So let's read together. John chapter 14, verse 25. It says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." Everybody say, all things. "And will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This morning I want to talk to you on a topic titled simply this: you've got a friend. You've got a friend. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord God, I just thank you for this morning. God, I thank you. There's so much purpose and destiny in this day that you've set before us. God, more than we can ever see or think, Lord. And God, I just pray that as we open up our hearts and our lives, Lord, God, that you would speak what you want to say. You know that every single person in this room has a different circumstance, a different situation. And Lord, I know you're waiting for us to just open up our hearts so that you can speak to us. So Lord, I just pray that your word would do what only it can do and that you'd change us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody in here say, okay, I have a best friend? Do you have a best friend? It's not just for like middle school with the broken heart necklaces and everything like that. Thank God that friendship lasts beyond that and it gets better. My best friend in the world is my husband, Rich. He's my best friend. We've been married for 7 years now. And when we met 12 years ago, I was only 17. And I'd never been in love before. I'd never been in a serious relationship before. And when we fell in love, I mean, I fell hard. It's kind of like Destiny and Phil. I fell hard. I mean, head over heels. I met him in Nashville one day. We just hung out. It was not a romantic date or anything like that. We had lunch with his older brother with a big group of people. Nobody was setting us up. He just happened to be in town the same time I was in town. Then I went home to Shreveport. And he got my number from somebody and started just lighting up my phone. And if you know Rich, you know he's persistent. That's one thing I can say about him. And we started this long-distance relationship where I literally fell in love with him over the phone. I got to know him. I got to talk for hours upon hours to him. And I'll never forget when my mom came in my room and in her hands were the long-distance phone bills. And some of the young people in this room, you don't even know what that is anymore because now we have like free nights and weekends and all this stuff. But that wasn't going on 12 years ago, and I was in trouble. My mom was like, "Girl, we have got to change your phone plan. What are you doing talking to him for 4 or 5 hours at a time? What are you talking about?" And we just started this friendship. He was my best friend before anything. And over the years, you know, since we moved to Miami, we've started traveling, and I've just gotten used to having my friend around. You know, when you just sometimes you honestly take them for granted. You take for granted the things they do for you, the way they take care of you, and Rich takes care of me so well. Sometimes I can just get in my own world, and I can be so zoned out. I remember one time we were coming back, it was a couple months ago, we were coming back from an international trip, and we'd just gotten off the plane, and I'd been on this plane for 13 hours. And I was dead tired, and I was in my PJs, and I'm walking through the airport terminal. And you know when you haven't been on your phone for a while, and you're just like crushing your phone? Yeah, I'm going through everything. I'm texting my mom, texting my friends, I'm talking to everybody. And I just was letting Rich lead the way. Thanks, babe. Love you. So glad. And I zoned out like other people I know. Destiny and my dad. And we have this amazing ability to block out every other thing around us except for what we're focused on. So I'm following Rich, my best friend, through the airport terminal, and I'm just talking, you know, whatever. Here we go. Until all of a sudden I hear Rich yell, "Dawn Cherie!" And I look up, and I'm standing in the middle of the men's restroom, surrounded by men. We're not talking about a little bathroom. This is an international airport. I mean, I'm way in there. I'm like, everybody starts dying laughing. I like bow out with no dignity. But you know, he's always with me, and I thank God that he takes such good care of me. And when he's gone, we travel a lot together, but there are times when I'm home, and on my desk at work, I have this picture of him that is a precious picture to me, that when I look at the picture of him, all of a sudden, I just remember that moment. I remember that precious memory, and it's as if he's there. You know how when you just look at a picture, it's like, man, it just, you're right back in that moment, that celebration or that precious moment that you guys shared. And that's what it's like when I look at this picture of him. But how many of you know that the picture's great, but nothing compares to actually being with him? And that's what a lot of Christians look like today. We have a picture of God. We have the stories of what he's done. We have all the memories of the past, the good old days, all the good things that God has done that we can testify about. But why sit and stare at a picture when we can stand and step into his presence? There's something so powerful about knowing that at every moment of the day, every situation we're in, every problem we face, we don't have to stare at a picture and think about how great it was or what he used to do, but we can actually stand and step into the presence of God. And that's what Jesus is talking about right here in John chapter 14, verse 25. Look at what he says one more time. He says that I'm going to send you a friend so that you don't have to sit and stare is basically what he's saying. He's saying, I'm going to send you the counselor. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to teach you all things, to remind you of everything that I said. The Holy Spirit is coming to you. That's what Jesus is saying. Look, you don't have to sit and stare. I'm sending somebody to be with you. I know I'm leaving, but I'm sending someone to be with you. Jesus was the greatest friend of all time when he walked on the earth. When you came in contact with him, when he walked through a crowd, people gravitated towards him. You know those people that you just want to be close to? You're just drawn to their spirit? That was like Jesus. When he encountered people, he would heal them if they were sick. He loved the isolated. He loved people who didn't have one friend in the world. He loved people who society had thrown out as they're not worthy of being accepted. They've sinned too much. They've done too much. Their life isn't acceptable. And Jesus reached out to them. There was no one beyond his reach of love. He was a friend to all. But when he left the earth, there's something very powerful that you've got to realize. And I know some of this is basic, but we need a reminder today. When he walked on the earth, he could only be in one place at one time, right? He could only be with one group of people at one group of time. He was fully human. But then when he went up to heaven, he promised that he would send a comforter, that he would send someone to teach us all and to remind us of everything that we had been taught. And that comforter is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what's powerful about the Holy Spirit is that Jesus sent him to every single person who would ever put their faith and trust in Jesus. He didn't just give it to some of the people, and he didn't give the presence of God to us for like the first 5 years. Like, let him teach you the first 5 years and then you're out on your own. You got to get it together. But no, he said throughout history, until I come back to the earth, the presence of God is going to be with you. He's never going to leave you. He's going to be with all my believers throughout history, around the world, all at the same time. How good is that? It's awesome. So we have the presence of God. We have this friend so that we don't just have to look back at what Jesus did, but we can know that the best is yet to come. And this is what it says in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Spirit of truth, to stay with you forever. The world cannot receive him because it cannot see him or know him, but you know him, for he remains with you and lives in you today. From the moment you receive Jesus, you have the Spirit of truth in you. And as we examine the presence of God today, I want us to examine the Holy Spirit in another one of our friends, and his name is Paul. And I want to look at his life. Paul went through so many struggles, so many mountains, so many things that you and I are facing today, Paul, our friend Paul, he went through the same thing. And praise God that he wrote about his struggles, that he was real with us, so that thousands of years later, we can be encouraged and we can draw wisdom from his journey. Amen? I just believe that if we could grasp the power that lives inside of us, our worlds would be different. Our marriages would be different. Our relationships, the way that we view life, everything would be different if you knew what kind of friend you have. So if you're taking notes, the first thing that I want to remind you about is you've got a friend that brings light to your loneliness. Turn to your neighbor, say light to your loneliness. And you can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. It says, verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Wow. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What's Paul saying here? He's saying, when you're on trial, you need some support. He was on trial. People were accusing him. People were coming against him. People were trying to take his life. And he says a bold statement. He says, no one stood for me. To the human eye, to the people watching what Paul was going through, no one stood for him. Maybe you feel that way. No one is standing for me. No one is on my side. But then he goes on to testify and say, but God stood beside me. Let me tell you, if you feel like you don't have a defense today, God will never leave you. He will always stand for you. He will always battle for you. The presence of God will never abandon you. It doesn't matter how many friends have walked out the door. It doesn't matter how much heartbreak you face. It doesn't matter how lonely you feel today. In the middle of your loneliness, there's a light. There is a light that cannot be put out. And that's the presence of God. He's come to you today to remind you that his spirit in your life is a light to your loneliness. Loneliness feels a lot like being in the dark. Doesn't it? I've been lonely before. I've had some really real moments of loneliness. And it's hard to put it into words, but it feels like you're in the dark. It feels like you can't find your way. You don't see anyone around you. It's just you and you and man. But loneliness is a lie. Loneliness is a lie. If we turned out all of these lights right now, we turned off the lights and everyone was quiet, you could sit in the dark and you could think that you were all alone. There wasn't one person in here. When really, the moment that a light is turned on, you could see that you're surrounded by hundreds of people, hundreds of possible friendships, hundreds of possible lifelong connections. Hundreds of people that if you'd reach out and believe and open your heart to could sharpen you and propel you forward like you never dreamed. Loneliness is a lie. But how many of you know that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Why? Because God knew that there would be moments where you felt like you were in the dark. In fact, the whole world is in the dark without Jesus. They are alone. It doesn't matter what they have. They're empty, alone, and in the dark. But the moment that Jesus enters our life, he's the light of the world. Amen? He changes everything. He illuminates the darkest, loneliest, most painful places of our life. That's our God. And I just came to remind you today, you've got a friend who's a light in your loneliness. You're not alone. I don't know what you're going through today, but you are not alone. God has stood beside you. His presence has never left you. Open up your heart to the Spirit of God today. Man, Why are we so afraid to be alone? Culture absolutely rejects solitude, don't we? I mean, ladies, we go to the restroom together. It's like, come on, let's come to the bathroom with me. A baby wants to be held. Baby cries until it's held. Why? It's to be close to somebody. I mean, think about it. Solitary confinement is considered torture. Why? Because people need people. But you can be in a room this big with this many people. You can be in a stadium full of people and still feel alone. Why? Because loneliness has less to do with what's going on around you, much more to do with what's going on the inside of you. And if you're feeling lonely today, it's not because you need a whole new group of friends. It's not because you need that perfect relationship. All that's great. That doesn't complete you. The Holy Spirit can bring a light to your loneliness today. And I'm praying that His Spirit, if you're lonely in this place, it's real. You can be honest with Him. He wants to touch you right where you're at. Amen? So the Holy Spirit's a light to your loneliness. But secondly, you've got a friend who brings triumph in the transitions. Soak that in for a minute. You've got a friend who brings triumph in the transitions. And I just want to read another thing that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. He says, I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Paul went from city to city, nation to nation. Transition was a part of his job description. I mean, this is all he did. Transition to transition. And he couldn't Skype home and call on his cell phone to be in touch with those that he loved most. He knew he had a call and that God had a purpose in front of him. And his life was to be led as one big transition. And every single transition that we go through gives us a choice. We can either walk in fear or we can walk in faith. Because transitions are a part of life. You cannot escape transitions. You can't escape those moments where you get out of your comfort zone, where that part of your life is suddenly in the light and you've got to work on it, where you've got a new job or you've got a new marriage or you've got a new situation or new friends or family or you've got a new circumstance that takes you outside of what's really comfortable to you. And all of a sudden, you're being stretched. All of a sudden, you're feeling those thoughts of anxiety, of worry, of fear. I used to think that those thoughts were actually signs that I was doing the wrong thing. When I'd experienced something new, a new transition, a new step in life, a new phase, new circumstance, I used to actually think it's easy to think that those thoughts that come when you're stepping out of your comfort zone of anxiety. Anxiety is a part of transition. Everybody feels it. Worry is a part of transition. God's Spirit wants to speak to us in that moment and calm us and give us peace. But sometimes those feelings come in because we're out of our element. But the presence of God wants to allow you to bend and not break in those transitions. The Holy Spirit inside of you wants to breathe wisdom to you as you step out on uncharted territory that you know nothing about. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you through, just like He guided Paul, cities he'd never been in. No MapQuest, no TripAdvisor. Circumstances he'd never been in, people he'd never met on a regular basis. His life was transition, and yet the presence of God sustained him, guided him, and gave him peace through it all. That's who you and I have. That's who you and I have. I have a friend named Kirby, and she's teeny tiny. She's smaller than me, and she met her husband at Rendezvous, our young adult gathering. They got married. He actually proposed at our Christmas party, and then they had a baby this last year, and he's just a couple months old, and I absolutely adore him. His name is Jose Dupree. And he's teeny tiny, and he's got that old man face that just looks at you. He's so reserved. He's like, you know, you're like, you look like you're 25 right now. And when she got pregnant, she's tiny, and she just had the cutest, biggest belly. And she's one of my best friends. I adore her. And she told me one day, she goes, I'm going to have this baby naturally. I'm not taking one pill. I'm not taking any drugs. I've read up on this. I got this thing. I was like, oh, girl. Okay, I'm with you. Praise God. And the day came when she had to give birth, and she went to the birthing center because it wasn't the hospital. She went to the birthing center, and I was sick, and I was on antibiotics. And which, by the way, I have a little funny eye thing. I'm not drunk. I just have a little eye infection this morning if you're wondering what's going on with me. But I was sick then, too. And I couldn't go to the hospital. How many of you know when you're sick and you're on antibiotics, you don't need to be around a newborn baby? So I had to stay at home, and I'm texting my best friend Joanne, who's outside of the door while Kirby's giving birth. And I'm like, Joanne, how's Kirby doing? That's how my text sounded. You know what I mean. When you write texts, they sound a certain way. She's like, Joanne's like, Kirby is not doing good. She's like, she's screaming so loud. I'm like, oh my God. So I go to bed. Life is great for me. I go to sleep great. Gonna get 8 hours of sleep, wake up in the morning. Joanne, how's she doing? I'm here. I got a little sleep, but she's still screaming. She's like, I don't think I can take this anymore myself. I think I gotta go home. Like, this is too painful. I don't know how much longer she can keep screaming like this. She was in labor like over 16 hours. The baby was born, beautiful, healthy, and a couple days later, I was well enough to go see her. So I go to the house, and I'm holding Dupree, and I'm kissing him, and I'm loving him, and, you know, just telling her how gorgeous he is. And then the moment comes for me to ask, I'm like, Kirby, how is labor? And she's like, oh, it's no big deal. And I'm like, what? But here's the deal. When you're looking into the eye of your victory, the transition doesn't matter anymore. Let me tell you today, your transition, the triumph is worth the transition. God will bring you through it, and all the pain and all the struggle and all the moments when you go, I can't do it. You just keep pushing. You keep pressing. You don't give up. You know that you have the power of God within you, and you're going to experience the triumph in your transition. Amen? We can't give up. Yes, it's uncomfortable. That's part of transitions. Yes, God's going to get you out of your comfort zone. Yes, serving the body of Christ is going to take more out of you than ever before. Yes, God will continue to ask more of you, but he will continue to sustain you and strengthen you. Let me tell you, we don't have a weak calling. We don't have just this tiny thing that God's placed us on this earth for. This is heart and soul. This is everything that we've got. This is our blood, sweat, and tears to build this house, to reach this city. Bossier City is never going to be the same again if we can sell out and embrace the transitions of life. God wants more out of us. He'll bring the triumph. You just lean into his presence. This is the time. Don't hesitate. Heart and soul, let's lean into what he has for us. Presence of God, he's a friend who brings light to your loneliness. He brings triumph to your transitions. But lastly, the Holy Spirit brings peace in the middle of your pain. The Holy Spirit brings peace in the middle of your pain. I find myself so often watching the news, counseling people at the church, talking to friends and family. And when we get done talking about the pain and the destruction, when I get done seeing it on the news, the only thing I can say to God is why. The only thing I can say to God is why. I don't understand why millions of people go without food, why war tears countries apart. I don't understand why abuse happens. I don't understand. How many of you know that God's not afraid of our questions? God is not afraid of our real heart's questions. In fact, he wants our questions. He's waiting for your questions. He's waiting to speak to your questions. That's the best part. But when I find myself thinking about how much pain is in the world, the only thing that I can ask is why, God, because I don't get it. How can you understand the pain of this world? It's too deep. Cuts to the heart. Changes everything, the pain of this world. It was not too long ago, and everyone in this room has been on the journey with my Uncle Ricky, Berlin. I'll never forget the day my dad called and told me that Uncle Ricky had multiple myeloma. If you talk about your heart dropping through your chest and into the ground. My Uncle Ricky is my second dad. When I heard those words, from the moment I heard them, we've heard that said about many friends and family. The question comes, why? I do not understand for one second. This is a man who my whole life would get up at 5, 6 a.m. and work out and eat the right way, who never met a stranger, who loved every person who came through the door, who I would spend weeks at his house as a child. I mean, he really was my second dad, is my second dad. And I would be in the second seat at Burger King driving through the drive-thru, and he would be telling the person at the cash register about how much Jesus loved him. I mean, there's so much positivity in life, in his life. How could this happen to him? And I'll never forget my dad calling me, because our church immediately, I mean, everybody on our worship team, everybody in our church leadership, we pray for Uncle Ricky. Every week, we adore him. They have never met him. They adore him. He is family. And we've been on this journey, and we've prayed. And I'll never forget my dad saying, Don Cherie, you're never going to believe what happens when Uncle Rick walks through the hospital. It is like this light is just turned on. In the middle of his pain, how weak he was, the things that he was going through, going in for treatments, transitions that never expected his life would take him to. Yet in the middle of his pain, Dad's going, the nurses feel so loved by him. He's praying with the doctors. He's reaching out to other patients. He's loving on them. God's light is supernatural, what's taking place every single place that he goes. And let me tell you, that is only the presence of God. Only the presence of God in your deepest, darkest times can bring about a peace that allows his love to flow forward. Cover your life completely and then rush out like living water into the world around you. And I'm so thankful for the miracle of Uncle Ricky. Can we put our hands together? I'm so thankful. He's doing so good. But when I ask why, many of you in this room, you know exactly, because there's a real pain. Maybe a pain so private, so personal that you've never shared it with anybody. God knows where you are today. And it reminds me of this verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. We read it all the time. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. I think it's really key that you pay attention to that part that says surpasses all understanding. Because let me tell you, when the pain of this world goes beyond our understanding, don't you know it's like our God to give us a peace that passes beyond our understanding? God will never let the pain of this world outweigh the power of his peace. If you have deep pain today, let me tell you, there's power in the presence of God today. His presence doesn't just go before you or behind you. His presence is in you. His power is inside of you. It's upon you. It is up on you today. You cannot escape his love. He's reaching out to you. So many times we look at the picture frame. God, I remember when you can step into his presence today. Doesn't matter if you've been saved for 1 minute or 60 years, we all need to be reminded that we have a friend. We have a friend that brings light to our loneliness. He brings triumph to our transitions, whether it's a new job or a new city or a new circumstance or a new group. I don't care what's going on in your life. The Holy Spirit holds the answer today. He will sustain you and strengthen you and speak to your individual circumstance. He's never at a lower level than his highest form of power. He's not like 90%, 80%, oh, you did something bad. He's only 40% today. He's not a percentage. He's a person. And his power is inside of you today. You have the power of God today within you. I just came here to remind you that you've got a friend. You've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You've got a friend that will complete your life. No marriage will complete you. No relationship will complete you. Can't do it. You can try. Will never work. In fact, when you put the pressure on that person to complete you, it just pushes you towards failure because you were born and built and created to be completed by the presence of God. You know what sanctification is? It's the process of being shaped into the image of God. So we give our lives to God, and he cleanses us and he changes us, but then the process begins of the Holy Spirit shaping you. Until you breathe your last breath, the Holy Spirit will never leave you. He will always be shaping you. He will open up your ears. Open up your heart. I just want to bring you right back to the very first verse that I read. Because I think it's powerful what God says. He knew we needed to be reminded. He said, all this I've spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you. He will remind you. You get in his presence, he'll remind you who you are. You get in his presence, he'll remind you that you have strength. He'll remind you that you're covered by a perfect love. He'll remind you that you've been set apart to live in righteousness and in faith. He'll remind you that he wants to birth the fruit of the Spirit in you. He'll remind you that your marriage is not beyond repair. He'll remind you that you've been sent to that school with a purpose to shine the light and the love of Jesus. He'll remind you that we don't just sit in this place out of routine or repetition, but we've got to shake ourselves up and pour ourselves out and give everything that we have for the cause of Christ. He will remind you. He's so good. He's so real. He'll remind you. You've got a friend. You've got a friend. All over this place.